It's always been my belief. The Lord said that in heaven there's 12 thrones on either side of the throne of God. We believe that those tribes of Israel, the head of the tribes of Israel, those sons, they'll be on 112. I've always felt that the 12 apostles would be the other 12. And I'll say this, I know that the early church, they tried to find the will of God to fulfill the seat of Judas, the betrayer, and found a young man. And he may have done some things, I don't know, but you don't read of him doing anything after they picked him. But I'll tell you who did do something, and that was the Apostle Paul.
Amen.
And that says a lot in my heart and in my mind. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. If anybody else had a ministry to the Gentiles, there was none greater in that ministry than the Apostle Paul.
Right.
Called to bring the Gentiles into salvation. Amen. I just want to go down through here and just look at some things about the days of the early church. And I hope that it will encourage us. I know we're not living in their time. We're living in our time. Amen. But we're just as much a part of the church as they were. And they were the early days church, first church. We are the last days church. And, you know, as a believer, my, what examples that we could take. Mistakes that we could miss by taking some of the examples of things that happened in their day. Amen. Paul begins, I believe it's, or Luke rather, Luke. Luke is who we believe has written this. If you'll read the first chapter of Luke, he starts and talks to the same person, uses the same name. Here in Acts 1, he says, "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus." And some say that that was an actual person. It means friend of God. Some say when Luke addressed O Theophilus, he was talking about any of the friends of God. Maybe in a great number, but it was probably a man by the name of Theophilus, the friend of God, and he's telling him of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Can you imagine that one man, Luke? Now I want you to think about this. One man would decide to take the time to tell someone else everything that Jesus began to do and to teach. Of all that he did in his ministry, the words, the precious words that our Lord spoke, to give that to someone. Listen, wanting to give somebody the words of our Lord is wanting to give them life.
Amen.
That's where true life comes from.
true life comes from the words of Christ. And Luke had a desire. Listen, you can follow even the Apostle Paul's. You get later on in the book of Acts, Luke is with him on his journey, even when he's in prison. Luke is there. He may not be in prison, but he is close to where Paul is. And he stayed with the Apostle Paul. He dropped his job as a physician. Are you listening to me? To give life, real life, to sinners, amen? I mean, listen, that speaks volumes to me. He said, Theophilus, the former treaties have I made, Theophilus, of all that Jesus began, both to do and to teach, amen? I mean, he's talking about every discourse, every doctrine, amen? Everything, that happened, he wanted to give that to him, wanted him to understand it. And that's the way we should be as a church. We should constantly dig out of God's Word everything that we can find that our Lord has said, that our Lord has done, and give it to people. Give it to one another. Amen. It is life to the soul. And he said, until the day which he was taken up, everything he did, right down till the day that he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. He said, he, through the Holy Ghost. I mean, he recognized our Lord and Savior giving them by the power of the Holy Ghost the commandments, not the Ten Commandments, commandments of the church, commandments of our Lord, commandments, and the greatest one was to love one another as I have loved you. He commanded us, commanded them to do that. That was a commandment of the Lord. Listen, some people, when they hear the word commandment, they immediately think Old Testament. But commandments for the church, there's some New Testament commandments, amen? New Testament. And he said that he commanded them through the Holy Ghost, commanded the apostles, to whom he also showed himself alive after his passion. And by many infallible proofs, listen to this, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So he showed himself alive. He was seen of them 40 days. He spoke of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And during that time, he gave them many infallible proofs that it was him that had risen from the dead. He wanted them to know beyond any shadow of a doubt. Are you listening to me? This is so vital and so important. He couldn't tell them, I rose again and leave, and then them say, I'm going to go back to fishing again, get discouraged. It was many infallible proofs. Things that there is no discussion of whether it was true or not. That's what do you think infallible means? Infallible means, I mean, listen, you can't convince otherwise. There is no argument against it. I mean, I could go on and on with statements what infallible means. Unable to be toppled. I mean, everything that he did, many of them, and they were all infallible. Completely infallible. Nobody was going to be able to come to these 12 and say, well, you know, that one thing right there, I've got something I want to tell you about that. And I know there was no way that there was anything at all that could even tease their mind. Are you listening to me? That he wasn't who he said he was. And that he hadn't really died. And that he hadn't really risen again. I mean, these men were convinced. Convinced to their very death. That Jesus Christ, their Lord, their Master, whom they saw crucified and died, rose again. Amen. And he was the one that proved it to them. Amen. Who better to prove it to them? Yep. Amen. Yep. I mean, listen, when Mary and Martha went down to the tomb, then they came back and they told the apostles. They said, "He's not there. He arose." They were still doubting. Thomas was still doubting. John and Peter ran to the tomb. Ran to the tomb to see if it was so. Are you listening to me? Now, could you think if that would have been it? Well, she told us, and I mean, we went, and he wasn't there. I mean, think of all the things that the, you know, Rome could have said, the Pharisees could say. I mean, that was their plan all along, wasn't it? To make them think that somebody had stole him away. Amen. To blame the disciples or some other disciples that somebody had stole his body away. No way. But Jesus himself, look at it right there. He himself, until the day in which he was taken up. Right. I'm talking about a man that lost gravity. Right. Yeah. And was taken up to heaven. Right. Amen. Oh, yeah. That he, I mean, listen. He, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles. And verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion. That was after the crucifixion. After his passion, by many infallible proofs. Being seen of them 40 days. And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together. Listen, this is the foundation of the church. This is the foundation of the church. A risen Savior. There couldn't be any crack in that foundation, Brother Dave. Many infallible proofs. 40 days of infallible proofs. I mean, one right after another that you couldn't argue against. Amen. You couldn't argue against it. Many infallible proofs that he was that Jesus of Nazareth, Mary's son, is the Son of God. Amen. Died for the sins of the world, was buried, rose again. The man of Isaiah 53. Amen. Who bare the sins of many. Oh, yes. many infallible proofs. Thank God for that. I mean, listen, I'll tell you when I started really getting excited about my salvation. The more and more that my eyes could see the real risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Boy, that stirs me more than anything. The life giver, amen. Praise God, the one who ever liveth. The Bible said he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. I'm he that was dead and am alive forevermore. Amen. I have the keys of hell and of death. Infallible proofs. Maybe he took them out and shook them in front of us. Look at these boys. I've got the keys. Amen. Many infallible proofs. I don't know what all they consist of, but I love them three words. Many infallible proofs. You know what a proof is, don't you? This generation today don't know much about what proof is or truth is. Amen. Because everybody's got their own view, proof, truth. There's not but one truth on any matter. Are you listening to me? One real truth. And the proof of that truth, Jesus showed it many times. Many, many infallible proofs. Glory to his name. Being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God and being assembled together with them, right there among them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Ye have heard of me. Ye have heard of me. Being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. I've told you of this promise. I want you to wait in Jerusalem. Don't leave Jerusalem. Don't leave Jerusalem. Here's the next infallible proof I'm going to give to you. We have the resurrected Christ proved beyond a doubt, ascended to heaven. Now the Holy Ghost descending from heaven and filling them with great power. He said, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. He told them that. That's what he said, which you have heard of me. And here's where you heard it. When I told you how John baptized with water, but he that come shall be, ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. I told you about this. They may not have understood it, but he told them about it. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He had told them a lot pertaining to the kingdom of God. Verse 3. Lord, wilt thou this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power. But ye shall receive power. The Father has His own power. And in His own power, He contains the time and the seasons of when everything's going to happen. But I'll tell you what I want you to look for. You're going to receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You're going to receive power. Power to be a witness. Amen. Listen, there's been Baptist preachers say this for years. Nowhere in that verse do you hear anything that says power to speak in an unknown language. The power was that we would be witnesses. The power was for you and I to be endued with power, that we could be witnesses unto Him. That we could, by the power of God, witness to the world the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Be moved with great power to be a light. Amen. To be the salt. To let the world know it's true, it's real. To live by those commandments, to love one another. Why? Because the world will know you're my disciples by that way. The Spirit of God helps us to love one another. It's not a task for someone truly saved. It's natural. It's natural for God's people to love one another. It's as natural as breathing. When you get born again, it's just there. You can't help but to love God's people. It causes us to be a witness. Why? The world don't have that kind of love. Their love is a perverted love. At best, a physical love. This is a soul love. Are you listening to me? An eternal love. And He told them, you'll receive power. Power. This is the foundation of the church. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. The church being endued with power by the Holy Ghost. This is the foundation of the church. We need to remember these things. We must not lose these things. We cannot stir away from these things. We must cleave to these things. Seek these things. Amen. We've got to hold on to it. Yeah. Hold on to it. Yeah. It's there. We just need to get to the place where we are paying attention. Feel the tug. I heard a preacher say years ago, he was talking about a father took his little boy to fly a kite. And they had the kite, and he was trying to show him how to let off just a little bit of string and run with it. And, of course, it, you know, kind of drag along sideways, but he was trying to teach him to get it, you know, the wind knocking against it. But when he finally got that part, he had run in the right direction, the wind knocking against the kite, not the other way. It would stay up above him. about 6 feet. And then his dad showed him how to let that string out really fast. And, you know, keep moving. Keep it in the wind. Let that wind start taking it higher and higher and higher. And boy, he was just, that little boy was just loving that kite. I mean, that awesome kite. Looked like a jet fighter. But it had got so high, he couldn't even see it. He said, "Daddy, I don't think it's there anymore." He said, "Son, it's there." "I don't know, Daddy. I just don't think so." He said, "How do you know, Daddy, that it's there? I can't see it." He said, "Son, you feel that that's tugging?" He said, "It's there." Amen. I've always liked that illustration myself. He'll tug. He'll tug from heaven. Amen. We're connected to Him. Full of His power. Full of the Holy Ghost. Witnesses unto Him. Listen. I'm going to preach a little missions right here real quick. A lot of people say, well, we need to, you know, get our back door before we go anywhere else. Look at what God said. "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." What's that next word? Both. That means at the same time. Both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Both. He didn't just say you'll be witnesses in Jerusalem. When you get done there, then go. No, he said both. Here and there. Do both. Witness to both. There's a lot of those Jewish missionaries nowadays. You know, they'll say to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Right here, God said both Jerusalem, amen, Samaria, amen, Judea, unto the uttermost part of the earth. Not just them, and then everybody else. No, everybody. Everybody, both, all at the same time. Right. Highways, hedges, amen. Compel them all to come in. Amen. Oh, yeah. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. And a cloud received him out of their sight. Not angels, a cloud. A cloud. God used a cloud to receive our Lord out of sight. Ain't that amazing? You ever do a reference in your Bible about what God does with clouds? What God says about clouds? It's part of His creation. It was a chariot for our Lord that day. It was a covering. It was glorious to watch Him ride upon that cloud out of their sight. What an amazing thing. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven. That's what you and I should be doing right now. Our eyes should be looking steadfastly toward heaven. Not on this earth. Looking toward heaven. This is the foundation of the church. Amen. We have a resurrected Savior. We need to be witnesses endued with His power. We need to be looking to Him and looking for Him. Looking to Him and looking for Him. Looking to Him and looking for Him. And as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven." Trusting in a promise. Trusting in a promise. He's coming again. He's coming again. It's amazing that this is how the first verses of the book of Acts, the first verses of the early church, is like a picture of what the church should be doing all the days they're here. What a picture. What a picture. He'll come in like manner. Amen. Well, I don't have time. I don't have time for the rest of it. This is the foundation of the church. Our risen Savior, chief cornerstone. Be excited about Him. Be excited about Him being risen again, bringing life to you, saving your soul, giving you the promise of His Holy Spirit, doing it for a reason, that you'd be a witness to Him. Look for Him. Look to Him. Amen. Live for Him. Amen. Amen. I want you to stand.